Torahway, Northwest London, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pasuk Shemishpotim, first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, the 12th of February, Harav Gary Bazak Shlita, Rosh Chodesh Adar and the Game of Life.
Okay, good morning. We're going to start with a couple of questions, because you start obviously as Rosh Chodesh Adar, so, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Bereider of Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav. Famously, we say Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha, but that's not the whole statement. The whole statement is actually Kashem Shemishenichnas Av Mematin Basimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. Just like when you enter Av, you reduce your Simcha, so too when you enter Adar, you increase your Simcha. So obviously, we know the din of when you reduce Simcha in Av. That's easy. You can open a Shulchan Aruch and see it. You open a Shulchan Aruch in Taf Kuf Nun Aleph. We just did it in Dirshu. And the din is extremely clear. It's brought in the first sentence of Taf Kuf Nun Aleph. Mishenichnas Av Mematim Basimcha. And it starts bringing the din in based on that. You have to reduce the amount of meat you're eating. You can't eat meat. You can't have wine, etc. So, dinim of Mishenichnas Av Mematim Basimcha. As far as I'm aware, at the moment, they still haven't yet turned Mishenichnas Adar into a marketing campaign for buying more meat during Adar. Yet, I'd say slightly cynically, because they might do at some point. Meaning, there's no din in Adar of Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. Therefore, eat more meat and drink more wine. Mematim Basimcha means on Av, there's dinim that are applied to it. In Adar, there's no dinim that are applied to it. And in fact, it's reflected in Shulchan Aruch, because if you look up let's look up the din. We want to study a little bit about Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. Where do you look it up? Shulchan Aruch. You open up Shulchan Aruch, you don't find it anywhere. There's no din of Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha in Shulchan Aruch. You look up Rambam, you look up in the Rambam, you won't find it in the Rambam either. Where would you find it? There's a Magen Avraham in Tafresh Peivav. The Magen Avraham that brings the Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. So it's interesting. Why is there no difference? Why is there a difference here? It's very clear why the difference is. Because Av has reflections in Dinim, in Maisim, that you have to do. You have to behave differently in terms of your actions. In Adar, it's a Chovas Alev. It's something that's happening inside ourselves. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. We have to increase the amount of Simcha we have. But it's not necessarily connected specifically to any Maisim that we're doing. But the questions that I'd like to focus on are the following. It says, Mishenichnas Av, Kashem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim Basimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. So we've already explained, we've already pointed out just now, that in terms of the actual dinim, they're different. They're not, meaning one is actually a dinim in terms of my sim, one is dinim in terms of your leg. So what's the Kashem? Just like when you enter Av, you reduce the amount of Simcha. So too, when you enter Av, they're nothing to do with each other. You Mamat your Simcha during Av because the Chorban, Beis Hamikdash. You're marbet your Simcha during Adar because maybe Purim, we'll see in a second. So what's the kashem? Just like over there, you reduce your Simcha. I could understand if you said that the Binyan Beis Hamikdash was in Adar. So then I would say, kashem, Mishenichnas Av, Mematim Basimcha, because there was a destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So too, when there's a Binyan of Beis Hamikdash, you also have more Simcha. But that's not the case. That's not the reason why you have Simcha during Adar, at least as we'll see in a second. So what's this kashem? Just like you reduce your Simcha, so too you increase your Simcha. They're totally unrelated dinim. Completely unrelated. Question number one. Question number two is, the Gemara says, kashem mishenichnas av matim b'simcha, kach mishenichnas adam marvin b'simcha. So says the Gemara, says Rashi, why exactly mishenichnas adah should we increase the amount of Simcha that we have? Rashi says, yemei nisim hayu li Yisrael. Oh. Very good. There were times miracles happened. When? Purim v'Pesach. Purim v'Pesach. What's Pesach got to do with it? No. Pesach's in Nisan, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I'm disorganized, but that a month already is I wouldn't even make a mistake in a whole month difference. But Adar is fine, but what on earth? Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha because of Pesach? You read the Rashi and you say I've actually seen in much much later Sfarim, and I'd like to point out that I disagree with them very strongly, but that there's Mishenichnas Nisan Marvin Basimcha because it's Rashi. Rashi says it as well. You should have Simcha during Nisan. And that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Basimcha. Why? Because of Purim and Pesach. Pesach does not seem to have anything to do with Adar at all. And why would we be increase the amount of Simcha during Adar as a result of Pesach? So those are the two questions that I'd like to try and address. First question was Kashem. What's this Kashem? Just like you reduce your amount of Simcha during Av, so too you increase your amount of Simcha during Adar. It's not Kashem. That happens to be like a Gzeri Shava, Simcha. Like, there doesn't seem to be any relationship between Av and Adar. Question number one. Question number two is, what on earth has Pesach got to do with anything here? Okay. So in order to try and understand this, I'm going to get a little bit off track and point out there's this very interesting relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Purim. Moshe Rabbeinu in the month of Adar Begadol. I mean, first of all, you see some funny interactions. You see on the one hand, does anyone the Al Sheikh HaKadosh brings that Machasis HaShekel or Matanos Levyonim, he brings two opinions there, are given Lilui Nishmas someone. Do you know that? The Al Sheikh says you give Machasis HaShekel or Matanos Levyonim Lilui Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting idea. So already, what's Moshe Rabbeinu got to do? It's Purim. Understand? The Gemara says another example. Gemara says we know it's a famous Gemara. Esther min Torah minayin. We're looking for the remez, which is the source of Esther's power, the source of Esther's koyach in the Torah. Anochi Aster Astir. Okay. Then the Gemara says Mordechai min Torah minayin. Good. Okay. We understand. So we're going through the story of Purim here, clearly. Haman min Torah minayin. So we've got three characters: Esther, Mordechai, Haman. Where do they all come from in the Torah? Where's their koyach? Where's their remez in the Torah? How do we understand them? We understand that Gemara. The Gemara starts though. Moshe min Torah minayin. Moshe. I'll tell you when. But first of all, I'll tell you where Moshe is in the Torah. When it says that Moshe was born, Moshe's in that. No, we want to know where Moshe's koyach is in the Torah. I can understand that question, but what on earth does that have to do with the other three? There's a list here: Mordechai, Esther, Haman, Moshe. Well, Moshe got to do with anything? And more than that, specifically related to what I'd like to draw is there was a tremendous. Who was the first person to have a real simcha about Adar? Haman. He was samach simcha gedolah, the Gemara says, because it was nafal pur but Adar. Why was Haman so happy about Adar? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. Ah. And the Gemara doesn't say, nah, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu died. What was Haman thinking? Oh, therefore I can kill the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara seems to indicate Haman was right. Haman was right. If it was just the month where Moshe Rabbeinu died, then we would have been in real trouble. Luckily for us, and unluckily for him, he wasn't very studious, and when he was looking in the history book, he didn't turn a couple more pages back. Because if he had turned a couple more pages back, he would have realised, no, but Adar is also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Unlucky Haman. You're wondering, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying a very interesting thing. It's saying that Nitzochon of Klal Yisrael at Purim time is built around the fact that Haman didn't understand that it was Moshe's birthday. And the potential destruction, the gzeira, or the potential atzlocha that Nahaman was going to have was because it was going to be Moshe's death day. Which means that Moshe seems to be a critical turning point, especially in his connection to the month of Adar, seems to be a critical turning point in terms of Purim. Bit strange. What on earth is going on? So, let's start like this. What was Moshe's... what I'm going to explain is a piece of Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Lublin. I don't actually know which sefer of his is in. It's in a brown sefer, which is on the Rosh HaKadoshim. He's speaking about Rosh Chodesh Adar. He's mentioning this point. So he says the following. He says, what was Moshe's tafkid? What was his job? What was he trying to do? He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the person who's going to be Megale Torah, to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. He's going to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. So that, therefore, comes along, and not only that, he's Megale a world which is above this world. He shows the real reality. He's Megale the Shem Yudke Vavke. He's showing the real spiritual world that exists. That's his job. His job is to bring that into the world. And he brings that into the world. And when you live with Moshe Rabbeinu, you live in a world of pure revelation. If you had a Shaila, like we saw in Parashat Yisro, you had a Shaila, what did you do? You went to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went, hold on one second, had a little chat with Hashem, and came back to you with an answer. He spoke to Hashem panim el panim. That was, Moshe had a direct connection. He had a direct phone line, unlike some of our phone lines here. But he had a direct phone line, straight through to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You want to know what Hashem says? I'll ask Hashem, he'll tell you. It was a world of pure revelation. It was purely coming from revelation, completely all the time. When Moshe Rabbeinu dies, says Haman, so Klal Yisrael aren't going to be connected to Torah anymore. They're going to be stuck now. They're not going to be able to access, certainly not on the same level, that world of revelation, that world of Gilui, that world of Nissim. They're not going to be able to access it because Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. And that, says Haman, I can capitalize that and lead them to a tremendous amount of Korban. And that is, and the Gemara seems to be assuming on some level that is true. Gemara seems to be assuming that revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu brings to the world, that revelation, when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, we've lost that. We don't, lo kam ka Moshe oid. You can't have another Moshe Rabbeinu. That's gone, that's finished, that tkufa's finished. So Haman says, this is my chance now. I can step in here. Klal Yisrael are going to be less connected to Torah. Klal Yisrael are going to be less connected to the Giluyim of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is now the time when we can start. When we start tapping into it. You see, Haman wasn't somebody who didn't believe in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's clear, right? Because Haman says a conversation with Achashverosh, Yesh Na'amecham Mufuzom Mufur Ben Amin. So Achashverosh says back to Haman, yeah, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is gonna. I'm not messing with him. Thank you very much. I've seen plenty of people in the past to try to do that. Haman says, nah, don't worry about that. They're all doing Averus. Forget it. That's gone. That time's gone when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is looking after them. So Achashverosh says, yeah, but the Tzadikim. He says, nah, but they're all responsible for each other. The rest of the Klal are going to bring them down. It's fine. Let's get them. In other words, Haman was saying, there's something's happened in Klal Yisrael. They're Yishenim min HaMitzvos. They're disconnected from that world. We can tap into it now. We can get them now. Now is the time. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore. Now is the time. There's a potential for Chorban. Good. So what was his mistake? That was Haman's death. And the Gemara seems to assume that on some level, Haman was right about that. You've lost Moshe Rabbeinu. And losing Moshe Rabbeinu can lead you to Chorban. Can lead you to Chorban. A terrible Chorban. If you like, when is the time in Torah where in the laning we relate to Chorban?
Toichocha,
but also when we lane it, we Eicha Asel Avadi, right? When we do, before, it's not just because it's the week before Tisha B'Av that we lane in the tune of Eicha because we saw the word Eicha. It means that Chazal, it means that Minhag Yisrael is that somehow we see in the word Eicha Asel Avadi when we're moving from the transition from Moshe to Yisro's Eitzah, when we're moving from that transition, we see in there the potential for Chorban. You move away from revelation, you move away from a direct Gilui from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that opens up the potential for Chorban. That opens up the Eichai Salavadi. At that point, then we see the potential for Chorban. So Haman was on a certain level right. He saw that there's potential here that could go horribly wrong. Says Rav Tzadok, what he didn't realize though, is that it's not just the month when Moshe Rabbeinu died. And by the way, this makes sense. In terms of, if you start the year at Nisan, so Nisan was the time when you had the revelation, when you had the Giluyim, when you had, that was when Moshe Rabbeinu's Koyach is. You move all the way around, we're now the furthest that we can get from those revelations. We've gone through everything, and we're now the furthest that we can be from those revelations. We're at the end of the process. There's nothing left. There's kimat nothing left anymore. You don't see those Giluyim anymore at all. So he says, this is the time. Now Klal Yisrael aren't connected to this anymore. Now is the time to get them. Says Rav Tzadok, he didn't realize, though, that Moshe's death was actually Moshe's birth. Not just that, it happens to be the same day, but the actual process of Moshe moving on was the source of Moshe fulfilling his tafkid properly. Why? Because Moshe leaving gave a tremendous amount of darkness. But that dark, which can lead to Chorban, but that darkness itself can become the light. That darkness itself can become the light. We know that the Gemara says that at Purim time, Hadar Kiblua, we were Mekabel Torah again. This time though, Me'avas Hanes. This time Me'avas Hanes. Let's try to understand, where did the Avas Hanes come from? At this point, Rebbeinu Shel Olam started with Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiges. He started off, the Maharal explains, Kafar Aleihem Har Kegiges means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them reality so clearly there was no option. They couldn't see anything else. If I told you, please don't walk off that 7-story building. I'm not, There's not a tad of maybe you walk off the seven-story building, maybe you won't, such that. You see the reality so clearly in front of you that you cannot have no bechira. You cannot have no bechira. So that's on the one hand. So, kafar aleihem ha'kigigis. The reality was so clear in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in that time of Ma'amad Har Sinai, we had no option other than accept the Torah. The minute that all disappears, the minute that you can't see anymore, the minute that it's dark, and now you have to choose properly, that's hadar kibluah. What does that mean? Let's think about it like this. Everyone knows that when you're learning a Gemara, someone gives you pshat in the Gemara, nice, say that, very nice, lovely. The minute that you've got a kasha in the Gemara and you work it out yourself, that is now my chiddush. Yeah, you take that chiddush, you sharpen it up, you put it in a sefer. Well, it's your chiddush. And that's not just... That's how you're supposed to relate to it. The pasuk says, Ubatoras Hashem Cheftzoi. Talking about some of Yerush Shemayim. Ubatoras Hashem Cheftzoi. His entire desire is in Torah. Ubatoroso Yege Yoman Valayla. But in his Torah, Toras Hashem is his desire, but Ubatorosoi in his Torah, Yege Yoman Valayla. Meaning there's a transition. You start with Toras Hashem, but then you move to Torah Soy, his Torah. And that's not just a small thing. The Gemara says, if you've got a Rav who wants to be Mochel Al Kvodo, Gemara says, what do you mean, Mochel Al Kvodo? You think they're Mechabed you, Mr. Rabbi? They're not being Mechabed you, they're being Mechabed the Torah. So he can't be Mochel, Torah Delehu, the Gemara says in Kedushin. It's his Torah, he can be Mochel. Says Rava, yes. We have to hear the Chiddush here. Because it says, Uba Torah Soy, it's his Torah that he's Yege, Yoman Valayla. Now, just explain, this means the following. It means that he says to the Rabbeinu Sholem says, excuse me, you mochel in your covenant, it's my Torah. He says, no, it's my Torah now. You can't tell me whether I'm going to be mochel or not, it's my Torah. Uba Torah Soy, Yege, Yoman Valayla. You have to start with Torah Hashem. If you don't start with Torah Hashem, you never get to Torah Soy. But Uba Torah Soy, where do you get that from? That is when you discover it yourself. That is when you have your chiddush, your connection to it. The Mishnah Berurah says. It's actually in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, at the end of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, when he's talking about writing chiddushim on Chol HaMoed. Can you write chiddushim on Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah Berurah says you can write chiddushim on Chol HaMoed because it's a davar avid. Right, it brings one of the scholars. Why is it a davar avid? Wait another 3 days, and then you'll learn it again and write it down. Well, you won't be able to discover it again. Mishnah Berurah says, no, but every time you're supposed to learn Torah, you're supposed to be Mechadish.
So the next time,
you're losing another Chiddush. You're putting that Chiddush there, but then you've missed that. One of them's lost. Meaning, every time you approach Torah, you're supposed to connect to it with a novel perspective, with a new perspective, see something different, see something Chadash. So that's how you have to be Mishyachas to Torah. That only happens when it comes from inside. When Moshe Rabbeinu is alive, there's no option of doing that. The Rebbe told you the pshat, that's it. The minute there's darkness, when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, they forgot 3,000 halachas, and what happened? Oznil ben Knaz was mechadish them besfara. At that point, then there's a Kabbalah me'ava sanes. You connect to it, you're much more connected to it than you were if someone had just told you the pshat. If someone told you the pshat, fine, there's a level of understanding, Torah Sashem. You need that, that has to be there. But now, if now in the darkness you find the pshat, there's a tremendous simcha, there's a tremendous connection, there's a tremendous ava that comes from that because I'm personally connected to what's going on here. So the darkness becomes the source of that deeper connection to Torah. The darkness itself. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes away from Klal Yisrael, at that point we have the ability to see something that we didn't see before. We have the ability to connect to something we didn't connect to before. We have the ability to internalize that connection, me'ava sanes. That's Hadar Kibluah, phrased in a different way in terms of the Hanhagah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Yeah. The Gemara says, Esther is like the Ayelas HaShachar. I'm not saying Ayelas HaShachar. Why is she like the Ayelas HaShachar? Because it says, just like the Shachar is the end of the night, so too Esther is Sof Kol HaNisim. Now anyone reads the Gemara, you may just say, you got it the wrong way around. If I would say that, you'd probably, I wouldn't be quoting the Gemara, then you'd probably say, you got it the wrong way around. Because obviously the Nisim are the light. They're the daytime. When you don't have the Nisim, then you enter the nighttime. Not the other way around. Here it said, the end of the night is the Shachar. What's the night? The night is the Nisim. Hello? The night should... So the answer is a very simple answer. No. When you experience the Ribono Shel Olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows himself to you, then it means it's dark and the Rabbeinu Shlomo had to switch on the lights for you to see. He had to switch on the light for you to see. You wouldn't have seen him if the light wasn't on. The minute that you can see him without the light being switched on, it must be daytime. Klal Yisrael moved into a period during the darkness was the source of that light. Because it was dark, Klal Yisrael learned how to see in the darkness, as it were. Seeing in the darkness means it's always daytime. It means everywhere you look, it's daytime. Because you can see in the darkness, there's no nafka minute between darkness and light. That is what was Nischadesh at Purim, at Purim time, at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu moves away from us, we move out of revelation, we move now into personal, being able to see in the darkness, we move into the daytime, we move into that. That's a very, very different level, that's a very different darga. That is what Haman missed. Haman said, they've lost the ability to connect to Torah as a revelation. Good. But you don't realize that's a necessary stage for us to be able to fully internalize our connection to Torah and mitzvahs. At that point now, it comes from inside ourselves. At that point, we now learned how to see in the darkness, even in the smallest things. This is very, very important, because I once had a conversation with someone on a university. I was having an argument about whether the Rabbeinu Shlom exists or not, about whether God exists or not. I went through all the arguments. I went through it. He said Tachlis. He didn't say Tachlis, obviously, but Tachlis. Yeah, at the end of the day, if the Rabbeinu Shalom exists, he didn't say Rabbeinu Shalom either, if God exists, then this, he was talking about a pen, I'll talk about a book, I'll talk about a sefer, then this sefer should lift off the table. He doesn't. He would do it. Let it lift off the table. So I said, one second, you're telling me that if this book went up off the table, yeah, if Hashem caused this book to go up off the table, that you'll be ma'amin, you'll be a believer? Yeah. So I lifted up the book off the table and went like that. And he went, no, that's cheating. I said, why? He said, because that's not God. I said, God works in mysterious ways. And I was being cynical. I was saying it a little bit facetiously. But the point is true. If you're expecting a world where you can't see Hashem, and Hashem has to show you he exists, then you live in darkness. The minute that you see in everything that you do, the Rabbeinu Shalom, then you live in light. If you see in all of your work, the Rabbeinu Shalom's with me in everything. If you see in all your tefillah, the Rabbeinu Shalom's with me in everything. If you see in every hashkacha moment, the Rabbeinu Shalom's with me. If you see when you're walking through the street, the Rabbeinu Shalom's with me. If you see the Rabbeinu Shalom everywhere you're looking, then it's light. That is the Simcha of Adar. That's the Simcha of Adar. That you see not just in moments when we're uplifted, or when Hashem inspires us, or when we have big ma'amadim, or when we have big tefillahs and we're uplifted. Not just in those times, but in the smallest, most gashmi, chitzoni moments of life. When you've got a man dressed up like a melon trying to do a song so that you'll give him some money for tzedakah. Right? At that point, when you can see, not, my gosh, this is ridiculous, but when you can see, there's pnimius even in that. When you can see that, then you're living in light. Now, Purim time, we don't look at that and see a man dressed up like a man. We go beyond all that chitzonius, and we see embedded into there is a rotzen to help other people. Wow. Very special. Very special. That's what we're able to connect to. How do you do that? This is the theory. The theory is that Adar time is the time where we're the most disconnected from revelation, therefore it's the darkest. But the darkness becomes the source of light. Oh, let's just answer the questions, one second. So Kashem is Shenichnas Adar Mamat in the Simcha. We said that the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, the loss of that Hanhaga Nisis, can lead to a Charban. It can. It's Mishenichnas Av. We need to be aware that we've lost something as a result of losing that revelation. That darkness is a terrible thing, but that darkness itself becomes the source of the Simcha Adar. Kashem Shenichnas Av Mematib B'Simcha, because we lost that revelation, it causes a Chorban, and that's a bad thing. So too, the loss of that revelation will give us the Simcha of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Why you made Purim V'Pesach? You made Purim V'Pesach because Purim is just a gilui on that revelation of Pesach. You thought you might have had a havamina that Pesach only when the Rabbeinu Shalom acts openly. Is he there? You feel disconnected when he's not helping you. When you're in daf times, when you don't see Hashem, Purim shows us no. You may nisim of Purim shows us that no. That gilui that happened then, that's always there even in the darkness, even when it's not open. Those Giluyim in the worlds of the Ramban, the Nisim Niglim will be Megale to us that all of Teva is Nisim Nistarim. It shows me even in the things that you don't openly see the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's there. He's running things. There's a Hashgacha Pratis. There's a Hashgacha Tmidis. That is the level of simcha that we're talking about. How do you do that? Because it's very difficult. You walk around. You see. So, yeah, when you're working, it's very difficult to do this. To live with Hashem Bikir Beinu. The Amalek never came because we said Hayesh Hashem Imayin. They said Hayesh Hashem Bikir Beinu Imayin. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam in every detail of my life? Is he Bikir Beinu? Is he in everything that I'm doing? It's quote unquote easy to have the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're davening. It's quote unquote easy to have the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're learning. To have the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're eating a sandwich, or eating a chocolate bar, or having a whiskey, or things like that, is much, much more challenging. So or even more challenging is when the difficult things are going on in life, and we're under stress, and we're under pressure, and we're under the situation we're in now. When you've got all of that pressure pressing down on you, to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam is very, very difficult. So I think there's one mashal that I think is very powerful here, which is useful. The game of life. I think this is very important. I think this is the yisod of what we're talking about here. The game, picture, I don't know if you know the game of life. The game of life is a board game in which you have a little car, and you can see it's not designed for Haredim, this, because there's no dents in the car, first of all. And second of all, there's only room for four people in the car. Right? So the Haredi version, I guess, would have dented cars, and there'd be slightly bigger people carriers with seven places or eight places, nine places. So you're driving around, and what you do is you go through, it takes you through life. And you know, you get more, and you arrive on a square, and you pick up a card, and you've had a child, mazel tov, beautiful, right? And you move through, and then you get promoted, you make a bit of money, then you get demoted, you lose your job. Yeah, and it goes through all of life, and you win things, and you lose things, and it goes up, and you have to win the game. Fine. Can you imagine playing it with your son, and you're looking at him, or playing with another family, even better, and you're looking at, and you're enjoying it, and then you're looking at their car, and you're thinking, he's got more children in his car than me. Not very happy about it. And you start getting upset about the game, and you can see the two fathers are getting very into this game now. And when he lands on the square, you know, of getting from road, yes. You're watching this game, and you're watching the two kids are kind of looking at the parents, thinking, what's going on here? And imagine getting so absorbed into the game that the ups and downs of the game, you're thinking, oh, yes, no. It would be silly to do that. Why? Because you know the tachlis of that game is not the ups and downs of the game. The tachlis of that game is to use the game to connect to something different, to connect to your son, to connect to another person, to have fun together. There's a much deeper, and the whole game is just a heichi timpsa for that. That's it. So when you relate to the world as the game of life, then, and you get absorbed into the game of life, and you have the ups, and you have the downs, and you have the, then it becomes very challenging. The minute that we have the ability to say to ourselves, hold on, everything that's happening here is a heichi timpsa for my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who would have thought that it's best for me to be locked up for 11 months? Who would have thought? I didn't think it was best for me, but kol man da'avid rachman l'tav avid. I know that, so now how do I use this situation to draw a deeper relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam? That's what we're asking. That's what we should be asking at any point. The game of life, we know, you don't play the game of life and get so absorbed into the game of life that the ups and downs. The point is that everything happening in the game of life is a heichi timsa for something much deeper. That, I believe, is the simcha of Adar. The simcha of Adar is recognizing that everything in life has that deep pnimius in it. Everything. In the darkness, and the darkness therefore becomes the source of the deepest light. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should be able to connect to everything in life, even the most chitzoni things, even the most gashmi things, as being a source of continued inspiration and continued connection to Ribbono Shel Olam.